This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What caused the financial crisis? Testimony continues today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission continues its work today, looking into what caused the meltdown and how to prevent the next one. Marketplace's Amy Scott is following the group's work, and she joins us live. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Bill.
So on deck today are former Fannie Mae executives. Remind us the role Fannie played in all this.
Well, Fannie and its cousin company, Freddie Mac, support the housing market by buying mortgages from lenders and then packaging them into bonds that they sell to investors. And critics say that by doing that, the companies helped inflate the housing bubble, that by relaxing the standards for the loans they bought, they let the money flow too freely and too many people ended up in homes that they couldn't really afford. And of course, when Fannie and Freddie ran into trouble, the government essentially ended up taking them over in the fall of 2008.
Right. And who's testifying today?
Well, one person we'll be hearing from is Fannie Mae's former CEO, Daniel Mudd. He has been criticized for ignoring warnings that the company was taking on too much risk. Some emails surfaced that suggested that he had ignored these warnings, and we may hear about that again today. We'll also be hearing from two of the company's former regulators about why the government didn't do more to rein in all that risk.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you.
Thank you.
The British oil giant BP plans to invest in a controversial oil exploration project in Canada. And now some of BP's biggest investors have begun to revolt. We get the story from Stephen Beard in London.
The California Public Employees Retirement System, America's largest pension fund, says it'll vote against the BP board at next week's annual meeting. CalPERS and other funds back a resolution critical of BP's oil sands project in Canada. Oil sands offer huge potential, but say the critics at massive environmental cost. Extracting the oil from lumps of sand and clay is messy. It scars the landscape, leaves toxic waste, and emits far more carbon dioxide than drilling for oil. Duncan Exley is with the ethical investment charity Fair Pensions. He says pension funds are rebelling mainly for financial reasons.
This is by no means limited to the environment. There have been a number of unanswered questions about what the costs of this project are and what the earnings of this project are.
But the Canadian oil sands could yield 173 billion barrels of crude, placing Canada second only to Saudi Arabia in oil reserves. BP says it cannot ignore such a major resource. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Shares are higher by almost 1% in Europe and Asia today. All of this following some decent sales figures yesterday from American retail chains. Yesterday, the Dow pushed up 29 points and closed at 10,927.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. and by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
After 70 years in Los Angeles, defense contractor Northrop Grumman would like to move its headquarters closer to its biggest customer, the federal government. But where to move exactly? Well, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., they're all making a pitch, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
No one's confirming anything, but each local government is said to be dangling a package worth $20 to $30 million to win Northrop. That includes property tax breaks and even paying moving expenses. The three districts covet the money Northrop's 250 well-paid executives will bring, the houses they'll buy, and the sales taxes they'll pay.
The cachet of a major corporate headquarters is a huge win.
Matt Erskine is with the Greater Washington Initiative.
It creates a multiplier effect in terms of this region's attractiveness to other businesses.
But with governments trying to cope with serious budget shortfalls, some locals wonder whether paying companies millions to relocate is worth it. Charlie Cray with the Center for Corporate Policy says it's become a corporate welfare arms race.
For a company that profited off of taxpayers to the tune of $1.7 billion last year alone, do we really want to subsidize them out of the budgets of communities that are suffering? Health cutbacks, education cutbacks.
Big corporate relocations are rare. 9 years ago, Chicago won Boeing's headquarters with a $61 million bid. I asked University of Chicago economics professor Alan Sanderson whether getting the company to move from Seattle was worth it.
No, not really. Could we have spent the $61 million on something else that would have had a higher payoff for the city, even if it's hiring more police or improving the schools or planting trees or whatever? I think the analysis would suggest that it wasn't a particularly good investment.
But governments are starting to demand that companies deliver something in return, says Matt Erskine, things like new jobs or buildings.
So that if the performance measures aren't met by the company, there are clawback provisions to be able to take back the incentive money if the agreement isn't fulfilled.
The winning bid should be announced soon. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, here's the entire week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Don't get excited. It isn't decided. Just beware that U.S. Air has been invited by United to prepare to share their fares. Now, that might be unrequited, or it might ignite a fight if their competitors despair and have the pair declared unfair. Obama backs a banking tax, while Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and Alan Greenspan, Charles Prince, and Robert Rubin are all convinced they're not the ones we should condemn. Mistakes were made, but not by them. Geithner went to Beijing. This spring, he has been bringing up the currency thing. It doesn't have to leap. Just let it creep. Don't keep it so bleeping cheap. Jobless benefits expire. Mortgage rates are getting higher. Toyota was fined. The birth rate declined. And Apple released a pad of some kind. Come see us by pad or phone or PC by typing in marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.